is a book written by Rabbi David Biton, but originally it's not by Rabbi David Biton. Originally there was a rabbi who lived close to 1,000 years ago. His name was Rabbi Shlomo ben Gabirol. He was a very great man, great philosopher, great mathematician, great astronomer, great philosopher.
Everything great.
And he wrote religious philosophy. He wrote a book called Keter Malchut, that I read it on Kippur. He describes what goes on in heaven, the angels, how many angels, how many groups of angels. And one of the piyutim we read is from him. Shin anim sha'ananim. Shin anim sha'ananim. That's all from him. There in that poem, he is describing, he was a great poet also, a shorer gadol me'od, and he describes four different groups of malachim that they praise God every day, and who is leading them, the heads, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, there is four of them with the leaders that they give. And the way he describes it, the most gorgeous way. Everyone that he writes, it's beautiful. He himself wrote also a book called Azharot. Azharot means mitzvot. Kadosh Baruch Hu warned us what to do and what not to do. That's warning, Azharot. In other words, the mitzvot of Hashem. But rabbis before him, they wrote the mitzvot of Hashem. There was a rabbi whose name was Rabbi Shimshon Mikotzi. Kotzi is the name of a city in Europe. Rabbeinu Shimshon was a very great rabbi. He wrote a book called Sefer Mitzvot Gadol. That's the name of the book, Sefer Mitzvot Gadol. What is a Sefer Mitzvot? Sefer Mitzvot, he writes all the mitzvot, one after another, in numbers. Number one, number two, mitzvot aseh. He started with the asim, mitzvot aseh. Then, second part, mitzvot lo ta'aseh. That's the whole book, is called Sefer Mitzvot. Why they call it Gadol? Because the one after him, came another one, wrote also Sefer Mitzvot. It's called it Katan. This is Sefer Mitzvot Gadol. Because Sefer Mitzvot Gadol went with so much analysis of every mitzvah, discussion, everything. And after he wrote his book, Sefer Mitzvot Gadol, Rabbi Shlomo ben Gavirol wrote the poem based on the mitzvot of Sefer Mitzvot Gadol. That's why we find a number of places in the poem of Rabbi Shlomo ben Gavirol different from the number of Rambam, which what are the mitzvot that Rambam is counting? Bishop Morgan will give us a little bit different mitzvot, because he followed Sefer Mitzvot Gadol, which Rambam differed a little from Sefer Mitzvot Gadol. In certain cases, he had different opinions than Rambam. And came some other rabbis after Rambam, they criticized Rambam, and they believed that Sefer Mitzvot Gadol was more correct. And some came to the defense of Rambam. And there was Rambam wrote also Sefer HaMitzvot LaRambam. On his Sefer HaMitzvot came those critics that criticized him, and then came a very great rabbi, Rambam Nachmani, to his defense. And Rambam Nachmani, even though he defended Rambam, in some mitzvot he said, I disagree with him. He changed a little bit some of the mitzvot of Rambam. However, this book of Azharot Rabbi Shlomo ben Gavirol written and based on Sefer Mitzvot Gadol. What did he do? He wrote a poem. One poem. Two poems, to be more correct. The first poem for Mitzvot Aseh, and then the second poem for Mitzvot Lot Aseh. And in the poem, he gave a hint to his name at the beginning. And the same thing with Mitzvot Lot Aseh. And all comes four sentences. Each sentence, there is rhymes of three sentences, they rhyme. And the last sentence all ends with the same way, with all the poem. That means every verse has four sentences. So as I go further, I'll say, after Rabbi Shlomo ben Gavirol wrote his poem, came another rabbi much later years, not one of the early time, and he wrote a very small poem as an introduction to the poem of Rabbi Shlomo ben Gavirol. Why did he write this? He was writing mainly on the Ten Commandments, because there was a rabbi, a great rabbi, whose name was Saadia Gaon. He also wrote Mitzvot, but he also wrote and told us, he was the first one to tell us, and they all followed him, that the Ten Commandments include all the Mitzvot of the Torah. How come? Ten Commandments is only ten, the Mitzvot of the Torah are 613. He showed us, he wrote a special book for that, to show how every Mitzvah of the Ten Commandments, there are so many Mitzvot included in it. And he went on to show us, this belongs to Anochi Hashem Raecha. This belongs to Lo Yeh Lecha Elohim Acharim. This belongs to Lo Tirtzach. And so on. He combined all the 613 Mitzvot in the Ten Commandments. And he came and he told us something beautiful. He said, if you count the letters of the Ten Commandments in the Torah, you will find 620. Why? 613 from Mitzvot of the Torah, and 7 are from Hachamim. They are in the letters. He said, yes. If you look, what are the last 7 letters of the Ten Commandments? Asher l're'echa. What does he say? Lo tahmod. Don't envy anything that your friend has. His wife, his field, his home, his wealth. V'chol asher l're'echa. He said, the words asher l're'echa, that belongs to your fellow man. Don't forget also mitzvot of Hachamim, asher l're'echa. That's why in asher l're'echa they talk about mitzvot of Hachamim, that human being like you. Up to here, it's all from God. That's 613. Every letter represents one mitzvah. These are the words of Saadia Gaon. And this poet, Rabbi Elazar ben Pekuda, he wrote this poem, and his name, and one letter in every verse, beginning of the verse, the name of this Rabbi Elazar ben Pekuda, that he wrote this poem. And he, as I said, he made it an introduction to the Azharot. The custom is our custom, that every year on Shavuot, we read the Azharot of Rabbi Shlomo ben Gavirol. Some places, there is a rabbi whose name was Rabbi Yitzhak ben Reuven, and he wrote also Azharot. Rabbi Yitzhak ben Reuven, in many, many countries, they read the other Azharot of Rabbi Yitzhak ben Reuven. But most of the communities, of Sephardic communities, they read the one of Rabbi Shlomo ben Gavirol. Ashkenazim don't read this Azharot. They have different things what they read on Shavuot. Akdamot, they call it. It also includes some mitzvot. And as we follow, you know, it was a custom that in every synagogue, they read all the Azharot from beginning till the end. It took them 3/4 of an hour, Now they're ready together in public. And in some places, the rabbi called the invited people, they come again, and the rabbi speaks on the Azharot. He lectures, he gives certain ideas. This was the custom. We did it in Magen David all the time. We did it even in Shaar Etzion. I did it in the Midrash. Some others do it in a different place. And this was the custom all the time, to read Azharot. Changing time we have now. How could they read all the Azharot in the synagogue? It will take another half an hour, or three quarters of an hour. Haram. Then what they do? They read four lines at the beginning, four lines at the end, the way we do in everything, as you know. And goodbye. Like Michamocha ben Kamocha, like every time. Same thing with the Azharot. They don't have no time for it. The people are very tired. They have to go to enjoy their meal. Don't delay us anymore. It's enough. They keep us in shul 3 hours. What do you want to keep us 4 hours? Impossible. They're impatient and they go. And this is how being lost a little bit. This custom over there. Now, of course, for Rabbi Bittan, it was a dream of his life that he wanted to write the Azharot, to give a simple explanation for the common man to understand. He did it. And in certain places, he consulted with me and we spoke about it. There is one thing he didn't, and he felt very bad, because after he printed the book, he realized what I said about it. He said, I wish I knew before. Anyhow, I'll start with the poem, the first poem of the introduction to the main poem. It begins like this. Amon yomze, nahalu amze, al yad hoze, isha Elohim. You see every sentence ended with ze. The last sentence ended with the word Elohim. Every verse is like this. Rhyme and then ends with the word Elohim. Another thing, the beauty of this, Rabbah, what he did, the three sentences are his own, that he is putting a rhyme. The last sentence of the four, it must be words from the Bible, as a sentence from the Bible, from the Tanakh, somewhere in the Tanakh, Torah Nevi'im Ketuvim. Now here, he said, Amon, what's Amon? Nobody knows what's Amon. Well, readers out would know. You have to look at the Bible. Bible written the word Amon. Where? Ve'ehi etzlo Amon, sha'ashu'im yom yom. Shlomo was speaking on behalf of the Torah. So the Torah said that I was Amon. Now Rabbi said, what means I was Amon? The Midrash said, pedagogue. They say, what's pedagogue? Comes a commentary. They say, I was the blueprint. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he created the world, he prepared the Torah. Many generations before. Preparing the Torah in order that the world would be able to exist, needed the Torah. Not only to exist, also to establish the world, you need the Torah. Why? The Torah was like, I said many times to the students, the Torah was like a combination lock. You know that to turn the number that you want, it will open. You don't know, it won't open. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah, and by the Torah he created the world. He put letters together, you say something, the word comes. Yehi'or was by the letters of the Torah. That's why the Gemara says, Yodea haya Bezalel, Lezaref otiyot shenivre'u bahem shamayim v'aretz. Hashem gave enough wisdom to Bezalel. Bezalel was the grandson of Hur, who was the son of Miriam. Hur was the son of Miriam, and Bezalel was the grandson of Hur. And he was a young man at the time that they were going to build the Mishkan, and he was selected to be the architect, to be the engineer, to build the Mishkan, to take care, to be in charge of building of the Mishkan. Hashem gave him so much wisdom that he was able to put the letters together and create a new world if he wanted, a new planet, a different earth. There is one, and make another one. If you'll ask me why he didn't make another one, he said, don't ask me. He said, if God doesn't want to make another one, why should I make one? If God wanted another one, he would make it himself. Therefore, he did not. But the whole idea is, when he built the Mishkan, was done in such a way, with his great wisdom, he put everything included in that Mishkan, similar that to the whole world. And that's why it's written in the Torah, V'lachshov mahashavot. What's V'lachshov? V'lachshov, what's mahashavot? When you say lachshov, and to think, means thoughts. And to think thoughts, of course, what you think means thoughts. While you have mahashavot. Our Rabbi said, beautiful, the Targum said, V'lachshov, he was thinking the thoughts of others. He knew in his mind what others were thinking. Shema Yisrael. Malachim don't know that. Malachim don't know what a person do, but they don't know what he thinks. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave enough wisdom to Bezalel to know what they were thinking. What do you mean, what they were, for what? Why did you give them this? Every Jew, during the time of the Midbar, when they were bringing the material to build the Mishkan, everyone brought certain contributions. And some of them they brought it with a pure intention, some not so pure. And who would know to tell what was in the mind of everyone? Hashem put wisdom to in Bezalel that he would know how this one gave his contribution, what form, in order to know. That piece of board, piece of wood, the board that he brought, this Mr. So-and-so, but brought it with a pure, 100%, pure intention, would be put in the place of the Echad. That's one who brought it in order that, look, I brought something. There at the end, near the door, that he has to know what they were thinking. V'lachshov mahashavot. Can you imagine? The Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a power to a human being, and who was so young yet, giving him this kind of wisdom. This was Bezalel. Then in the Torah, that was Amon. Yom Zeh, one Yom Zeh, on this day, which day? The day of Shavuot. Nahalu Am Zeh, what's Nahalu? Inherited. These people, the nation that called Zeh, well, Amzu Yatzarti Li Tehilati Yisaperu, there is a pasuk. The nation that's called Zeh, because it's pointing to them. This is the nation that I love. This is the nation that I like. This is Nahalu Am Zeh, Al Yad Hoseh, to our greatest prophet. Who is that? Moshe. Hose means a prophet, Nabi. Why do you call him Hose? Hose means Ro'eh, the one who sees the future. They say about Shmuel, he said, Anochi Haro'eh, I am the one Haro'eh. When Shaul went to look for the donkeys that his father lost, sent him to look for them, he didn't find them. Then he decided to go to meet Shmuel and ask him if he knows where his father's donkeys are. Shaul entered the town of Shmuel and he was asking where to go, where he will meet Shmuel. And he met first some girls. They said, girls, can you tell me where can I find the Ro'eh? They started telling, yes, you know, today there is a special gathering and the people would not eat in that gathering unless he comes because he's going to say Beracha on the Korban, and then he will offer them, and then they will eat. They kept talking more and more because Shaul was such a handsome man, and they all were looking at him. There we go, was trying to make an impression on him. Maybe he will like me, this wonderful, beautiful man. And that's how Shaul was such a nice looking that all were attracted by him, and they want to talk to him. And Shaul was just to finish already. And he left them and he went ahead, and he met Shemuel. He didn't know this was Shemuel. He said, sir, can you lead me to see what is the Ro'eh over here, which means the Navi, the one who sees the future? Then he told him, Anochi HaRo'eh, I am the one that sees the future, I'm the prophet. And he went with him. Our rabbis tell us, even though Shemuel meant good, he was looking that he didn't want him to bother anymore. And because he was sent to meet him for a certain message to give to Shaul. But it wasn't nice to say, I'm the prophet. She said, yes, what do you want for him? Let me try to help you. And Anochi HaRo'eh sounds like, even though he didn't mean it, but it sounds like a person that with big shot. I'm the prophet. And Shmuel had to pay for it. You know when he paid for it? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel, go and choose one of the children of Yishai to appoint him as a king. And Shmuel went. Where did he go? To Hebron. Yishai lived in Hebron. He went to Hebron. And he came, he spoke to Yishai, the father. Where are your children? Can I see them? I came here to appoint a king after the death of Shaul. He will take over. And who do you have then? He brought him, his oldest son. The minute he came, Shmuel saw one. Once a man, tall, nice, looked dignified, made impression on Shmuel. Said, I see, here's the king of Israel. Hashem said, never mind. Hashem told Shmuel, don't look at the look and his height that you get impressed from him. He said, no, sir. And don't judge the book by its cover. So, kimi astihu. Hashem told him, I don't like this to be a king. He said, bring me the other one. What the other one? Again, everyone she wants thinks this is the one. So this is not the one. Then they finished all the sons. And there were seven. No. Then she went and told him, well, I said, I finished. These are all my sons. So you don't have another son? But you know, she told him, no one. She told him, one of the children. So yes, Sha'ar Acha Katan, he said, there was left only the little one that I have in the field. He's the shepherd of the flocks over there. So, send and bring him here. When he brought him, Hashem told him, this is the one. David said, who am I that Hashem picked me up from being a shepherd to appoint me to be the king? How much thanks can I express to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for doing that to me, elevating me, raising me to become of the top man from what? I'm nothing. David was considering himself as nothing. At that time Hashem told him, he said, Anochi HaRo'eh, huh? Let me see, what do you see? You didn't know even to see in front of you, you didn't know if he deserves it to be a king or not. That's what you call yourself Anochi HaRo'eh? Punished him for that. Anyhow, though this is Ro'eh is Hoseh. Hoseh and Ro'eh is the same thing. Hoseh means the prophet had two different names, Hoseh and Nabi. Nabi, they call him Nabi because the word Nib Sefatayim, movement of the lips, uttering words, it's called Nib. Hore Nib Sefatayim. So Nabi comes from the word Nib, that he hears words of God and he goes, gives it to the people. That's Nib, moving the lips. But Hoseh means they show him. There was a time that was here, silent pictures. Couldn't see anything. There was a time there was something talking to you. You didn't see anything, radio. Then came the age of television. They show you and they talk to you. The Navi, they used to show him and talk to him. They show him. They show him the future just like now happening. They showed him this group of people sitting here and reading Torah, one by one, by name. They showed the one who was instructing and teaching and giving. Dor-dor manigav, dor-dor v'doreshav. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe about Am Yisrael. From beginning, from the time that the Torah was given, till the end of days. Can you imagine? The mind of human being can take so much for all generations to see all the people, to see how they sit and they read, and have in mind every new idea that anyone is going to express throughout all generations. How much can he take? How much the mind of a human being can hold? This was Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, Nahalu Amze Aliyad Hose, that was called Isha Elohim. Where was he called Isha Elohim? Vezot Beracha Asher Berach Moshe Isha Elohim et Bnei Yisrael. Isha Elohim. That's the first verse of the poem of the introduction. Now, can imagine then, if we are going to explain this way, there will be no end. So there is more to explain in this sentence. Then he says, his name is Elazar, but he said Ani. He begins with the word Ani. I am Elazar. The first one started with Amon, Aleph. Then Nun, Ani. Nun, Note Aliyah. V'yosed Neshia, Lecha Dumiya, Tehila Elohim. Note Aliyah. What's Note Aliyah? You know, today, there is many two-family homes. Each two-family. In Hebrew, at the time of the Mishnah, they used to call the first floor a bayit. The second floor, aliyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created also the world this way. There is first floor, and there is aliyah. The upper part, what is that over there in heaven? Note aliyah. How did he build? How did he establish the heaven? He started, he said, let it spread. Spread like a tablecloth. Till Hashem said, it's enough. That's much. Not anymore. That's note. Note means spreading. Aliyah. That's why it's called the Shamayim. It's called also Rakia. What's Rakia? When you take a piece of metal, you take a hammer, you bang on it. What happens to that metal? Soft metal. When it molten, expands, becomes thinner, and flat. That's exactly what the Hashem said. That's called Rokeya. The Rokah Ha'aretz Alamai. There is Vayirakke'u Et Pachei HaZahav V'Kitzes Petilim. What's Vayirakke'u? They were banging on it. They were flattening it. Same thing here. Hashem made the Rokeya. That means He spreads it. Like a tablecloth that you open it. That's Note Aliyah. V'Yosed Neshiyah. And He established the earth. That's V'Yosed Neshiyah. If we want to praise you, the greatest praise that we can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be silent. Why? If you want to say, no, I want to give to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with everything I can, then He comes. He praises Him. How much can He praise Him with His vocabulary? A human being is limited. He will put 17, 20, 30 praises. Go ahead. Oh, there is no more. That's all the praises that Kadosh Baruch Hu has. But human being is limited. If you are limited, you can. Therefore, David HaMelech sent the Elim. Lecha Dumiya Tehila Elohim Betzion Ulcha Yishulam Neder. When people keep quiet and silent, that's the praise of God. We can't say anything. Who are we to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the whole two sentences here are from Pasuk and Tehillim. Dumiya means silent. What do you remember this word in the Hamash? דומיה, כלומר אהרון הכהן, וידום אהרון. When Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him, he lost his two sons, Rabbeinu says, Who asher diper Hashem lemor b'korbai HaKadesh? Counseling Aharon, don't forget, they were chosen, because God told us, I'm going to sanctify my name by the closest ones to me. Must be that what he meant, that they are the closest one to Hashem. But Yidom Aharon, Aharon kept quiet, he didn't complain at all. Melamed shekibel sachar al shetikato, and he got rewarded for not complaining at all, keeping quiet. There is lecha to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dumiya, if we are silent, that is the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because to show that we cannot describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. Then he comes and says, after Note Aliyah Ve'Yosef Neshiya, what comes? Yod. Yom Nigleta Vedat Horeta Me'od Na'aleta Al Kol Elohim. Yom Nigleta, what's Yom Nigleta? The day that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appeared and revealed yourself to Am Yisrael for, in order to what? To teach them the Torah, to give them the Torah. Me'od Na'aleta Al Kol Elohim. You were lofty and you were above all other powers in the world. And this is a pasuk in Tehillim, in Mizmor, the Tzadik Zayin. Me'od na'aleta al kol Elohim, ohavei Hashem sinhura, shomer nafshot chasidam, miyad rasha'im v'tzalem, o zaru al tzadik v'lishkalev simcha, simchut tzadikim v'Hashem v'du zecha kodsho. Again, he takes a sentence from the Bible. Devar el shama'u, am nosha'u, V'halu v'za'u m'penei Elohim. The words of God, they heard, who? The people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed from Mitzrayim. V'halu v'za'u, what's v'halu v'za'u? They were filled with fear. And they were shaking. V'halu comes from the word, Hil ahaz yoshevei parashe, pahad. But t'thalha ala malka me'od, very good. Vizau, Vizau, Mizdazi'u, she was shaking. That is, Mepene Elohim, because of the greatness of Hashem. It's written in the Midrash. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself and he started just talking to them, he started giving the first commandment, Anochi Hashem Elohecha. Once they heard the words of God, they lost their lives. The neshama right away went out. It was attracted by the word of God to go to run to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the neshama comes from Hashem like a magnet, goes to sticking to its originality. They went out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they all were dead bodies on the floor. This was sent a dew, and he brought the dew down. Came back to life. They were afraid to approach themselves on the Mount of Sinai. They were thrown away 1 mile away from the Mount of Sinai. And the Malachim were telling them, come on, they were afraid. The Malachim were taking them, each one, like, instead of crawling, walking him little by little, like walking a baby. That's the halu v'zam, the peneh, Elohim, because of the greatness of Hashem. They realized the greatness of Hashem, and they couldn't. They were shaken. V'hifli etza gedol etza le'am hel matza b'ayne Elohim. V'hifli etza. And they saw the wonder of the thoughts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who saw? Israel. When he gave them the laws, started giving them the laws, they realized the greatness of Hashem. Gedola Aitza, the greatness and thinking. Le'am Hel Matza Ve'ane Elohim. He gave all these, he advised them what to do. The people whom he liked, and they found grace in his eyes. Umtzahen Ve'sechal Tov Ve'ane Elohim Ve'adam. Pasukin, again in the Bible. יקרה נעימה תורה תמימה, להנחיל איומה בה האלוהים. לסונגו ג'ועמור אמרה, אה? יקרה נעימה תורה תמימה, he makes a big hit in it. Yekara, very precious. Ne'ima, very pleasant. Oh, it's very precious, very pleasant. The Torah. Torah temima, perfect Torah. There is no blemish whatsoever in the laws of the Torah. Every constitution that's written, yeah, there is some kind of ridiculous things. Not in Chas v'Shalom, not in the Torah. Because the Torah came from HaKadosh, Baruch Hu. But there is no blemish whatsoever, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, His Torah is perfect. Le'anhil ayuma, to give it to inherit it to wonderful people. What is that ayuma written? Ayuma kan nitgalot, in Shir HaShirim. Ayuma kan nitgalot, tremendous, tremendous greatness that these people have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the people of Israel tremendous in their beauty, power of everything, beauty of deeds, beauty of thoughts. And Hil Ayuma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, Baha Elohim. So then Baha Elohim also in the Ten Commandments, in the same parasha of the Ten Commandments. כי לבעבו נסות אתכם בה האלוהים, ולבעבו תהיה יראתו על פניכם לבטית החטאו. דת הודיעם, וכל ישמיעם, ראו השמעם כל אלוהים. said, דת הודיעם, הקדוש ברוך הוא, let them know the Torah, the מצוות, וכל ישמיעם, and he let them hear is the sound of God. Who deserves, who has the merit to hear the voice of God. The voice of God is very, very powerful. A person will just drop on the floor the minute would hear. But God will give them the power to hear. Re'u, listen, Hashama'am kol Elohim, is there a possibility that any nation would hear the sound of God? And this pasuk also in the Bible, in Hamash Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashama'am kol Elohim medaber mitoch ha'esh ka'asher shama'ata ata v'yehi. Is there any nation in the world that heard the voice of God the way you people of Israel heard and would stay alive? Nothing, no one. Impossible. I say, Re'u, Hashama'am kol Elohim, this is the praise of Israel. Be'oznei hamonai diber b'sinai. הלו אני אדוני ואין עוד אלוהים. But באוזני המוני, in the ears of all the crowds of the Jewish people, that means the whole nation, heard with their own ears, דיבר בסיני. הקדוש ברוך הוא spoke to them on the mountain of Sinai. What did he tell them? הלו אני השם, אנוכי השם אלוהיך. ואין עוד אלוהים. What's ואין עוד אלוהים? לא יהיה לך אלוהים אחרים על פניי. One sentence, two sentences, one after another, he gave to us the two commandments. אנוכי לא יהיה לך. Then they heard him saying more. What is the third one? What is the third commandment of the ten? לא יהיה לך אלוהים אחרים על פניי. זה נטוש זר ופסלו. Leave that stranger God. Leave the goyim and leave the pesel, leave the avodah zarah. Don't stick to it. Don't join them to think about their avodah zarah. V'tzeh tomar lo. V'tzeh tomar lo. Throw it out. Get out of here. V'tzeh tomar lo. The rabbi said, v'tzeh tomar lo. He said, the avodah zarah is similar to the things that you take out of your body. Say, in the bathroom. That's it tomorrow. I said, Hayase lo Adam Elohim? Come on, tell him. What are you talking nonsense? This is God? Was made by a human being? He is God? He is a creator? How could he be the creator of a human being made it? Hayase lo adam Elohim, ma lo Elohim. How could it be? Et shema el la shaval toel, ki al kol el gadol Elohim. What is the fourth commandment in the Torah? Well, we said the first one, Anochi Hashem Elohecha, he said that. What's the second one? En od Elohim, which is lo yelecha Elohim ha'chem al panai. What's the third one? We just said it. Lo ta'ase lecha pesek, ot emunah, don't do it. Then, there is lo tisa et shem Hashem Elohecha lashav, et shem ha'el, lashav al to'el. Ki al kol el, gadol Elohim. The name of God, Lashav. What's Lashav? The word Lashav has two different meanings. Lashav, false. Don't make any false swearing. Lashav al to'el. When the Pasuk said, Lo tisa means don't carry the name of Hashem while swearing, because usually you don't carry the name of Hashem. When do you mention the name of Hashem in terms of swearing? So be careful. Don't you dare swearing and lying. But Lashav has a different meaning too. In vain. That's why it's written twice, Lashav and Lotisa. Lotisa et Shem Hashem Elohecha Lashav. Ki lo yinakeh Hashem et Asher Yisa et Shemo Lashav. Not lying and not in vain. What's the difference between lie or in vain? Pastor comes and says, I swear this is a book. Everybody sees this is a glass. Glasses, he says, book. That's a lie. Come another person, come, I swear this is a book. Okay, so why do you have to swear? Everybody sees it's a book. We know it's a book. Big deal. As he said, that's in vain. That's not to say, Shem Hashem Lechalashav, Kiro Yenakeh Hashem Et Asher Yisa Et Shemo Lashav. Not this Shav and not this Shav. Neither one. Not lying and not in vain. I said, the Shema'el, the Shav, Al To'el, don't swear in the name of Hashem in vain or lying. Ki al kol el gadol Elohim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest and greater than all power that there is, powers that there is in the world. Don't be misled and don't be fooled to follow the Avodah Zarah. Then comes, what's the fifth commandment in the Torah? Zachor et Yom, the fourth, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho. I said, Lechabet Shabbat, Utsna B'Chibat, Kivo Shabbat B'Echal Elohim. To respect Shabbat, you should learn to do it with love. And what for? What do we make Shabbat for? Kivo Shabbat B'Echal Elohim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested and he finished all the work of creation. Can you imagine? He worked. What do you think? He got tired? Big deal of our saying. Light go on. Went on. Did I get tired? Then I say, let it be a cover above us. And the cover came on. I'm very tired. Tired of what? Vayomer Elokim Yeor, Vayeor. Vayomer Elokim Yerakia, Vayerakia. Vayomer Elohim yikavu ha-mayim, let the water come to one place, will be seen the dry land. Vayichen. Vayomer Elohim totzea ha-aretz deshe. Vatotzea ha-aretz deshe, ha-esem. What Hashem said. If a human being would say doesn't get tired. Hashem got tired. It's written, kivu shabbat mikol melachto asher asar. He rested from all the work he did. Did he need rest? A human being, if he would do, would create the world the same way Hashem created it, he wouldn't get tired. Hashem got tired, and he is writing about himself, he rested. But to teach you a lesson, to teach a human being a lesson, you work and you work and you work. Hashem said, I'm saying about myself, I rested. You should rest. For you, even though I didn't get tired to rest. Which means, you see, that's why our rabbis made many things known, I'm very surprising. There is 39 major things that the Torah said you are not allowed to do on Shabbat. Kemal Rabbi said, there is number of things also that you can't move things and touch them. You can't touch a stone, move it from place to place. Why not? The Torah didn't forbid us. This is not melacha. If I want to take a stone, move it here. I take furniture, move it from this corner to that corner. Wait a minute. They come Hachamim and said, listen, we come and we forbid you, we tell you, don't move just things on Shabbat. Or place to place, get tired on Shabbat. Then, if they didn't give us these laws, you defeat the purpose of Shabbat. Then a person, he has certain rearrangement to do in his house. He'll leave it everything for Shabbat. He's busy the whole week. Come Shabbat, say, I don't do any work. I want to move this table from here to there. I want to move my bed to take it to the other side. Here it's windy. The window comes, winter. I have to put it here. In summer, I have to put it there. So then, and he will do all these things, what he has to do in his house. He tells you, no, melacha, do it then on Shabbat. Wait a minute. Oh, there is a man who works very hard. He comes Shabbat, he stops working. There's a man who never works the whole week. He's resting the whole week. What do you do? How can he notice the difference between Shabbat and weekdays? Say, you know how this is. Every day you can move this thing to that. It's not melacha, but you can do it. Come Shabbat, you can do it. To show you the difference between Shabbat and weekdays. That.